Milton Security? Clinton felt the shock hit him in the gut. If it hadn't been for Fallon, I would have walked right into their arms, Sandberg said. There's something fishy going on, Nystrom said. There is no rationale for a small out-of-town printer to hire Milton Security for 24-hour surveillance. Clinton's lips were pressed tight. It was after 11 and he needed to rest. And that means Millennium really is up to something, Sandberg said.
I can see that, Clinton said. Okay, let's analyze the situation. What's the worst-case scenario? What could they know?
He gave Nystrom an urgent look.
It has to be the Salander report, he said. They beefed up their security after we stole the copies. They must have guessed that they're under surveillance. The worst case is that they still have a copy of the report.
But Blomqvist was at his wit's end when it went missing.
I know. But we may have been duped. We can't shut our eyes to that possibility.
We'll work on that assumption, Clinton said. Sandberg?
We do know what Salander's defense will be. She's going to tell the truth as she sees it. I've read this autobiography of hers. In fact, it plays right into our hands. It's full of such outrageous accusations of rape and violation of her civil rights that it will come across as the ravings of a paranoid personality. Nystrom said,
Besides, she can't prove a single one of her claims. Ekstrom will use the account against her. He'll annihilate her credibility.
And Teleborian's new report is excellent. There is, of course, the possibility that Giannini will call in her own expert, who'll say that Salander isn't crazy, and the whole thing will end up before the medical board. But again, unless Salander changes tactics, she's going to refuse to talk to them too, and then they'll conclude that Teleborian is right. She's her own worst enemy.
The best thing would still be if there was no trial, Clinton said.
Nystrom shook his head.
Well, that's virtually impossible. She's in Kronoberg prison and she has no contact with other prisoners. She gets an hour's exercise each day in the little area on the roof, but we can't get to her up there, and we have no contacts among the prison staff.
There may still be time.
If we'd wanted to dispose of her, we should have done it when she was at Sahlgrenska. The likelihood that a hitman would do time is almost 100%, and where would we find a gun who'd agree to that? And on such short notice it would be impossible to arrange a suicide or an accident.
I was afraid of that. And unexpected deaths have a tendency to invite questions. Okay. We'll have to see how the trial goes. In reality, nothing has changed. We've always anticipated that they would make some sort of counter-move, and it seems to be this so-called autobiography.
The problem is Millennium, Sandberg said.
Millennium and Milton Security, Clinton said pensively. Salander has worked for Armansky, and Blomqvist once had a thing with her. Should we assume that they've joined forces?
It doesn't seem unreasonable that Milton Security is watching the factory where Millennium is being printed, and it can't be a coincidence.
When are they going to publish? Sandberg, you said that they're almost 2 weeks behind schedule. If we assume that Milton is keeping an eye on the printers to make sure that nobody gets hold of a copy, that means either that they're publishing something that they don't want to leak, or that the magazine has already been printed.
To coincide with the opening of the trial, Sandberg said. That's the only reasonable explanation. Clinton nodded.
What's going to be in the magazine?
They thought for a while, until Nystrom broke the silence.
In the worst case, they have a copy of the 1991 report, as we said.
Clinton and Sandberg had reached the same conclusion. But what can they do with it? Sandberg said. The report implicates Bjork and Teleborian. Bjork is dead. They can press hard with Teleborian, but he'll claim that he was doing a routine forensic psychiatric examination. It'll be their word against his.
And what can we do if they publish the report?
Nystrom said.
I think we're holding the trump card, Clinton said. If there's a ruckus over the report, the focus will be on Seppo, not the section. And when reporters start asking questions, Seppo will just pull it out of the archive.
And it won't be the same report, Sandberg said.
Schenker has put the modified version in the archive. That is the version Ekstrom was given to read. It was assigned a case number, so we could swiftly present a lot of disinformation to the media. We have the original, which Bjorman got a hold of, and Millennium only has a copy. We could even spread information to suggest that it was Blomqvist himself who falsified the original.
Good. What else could Millennium know?
They can't know anything about the section. That wouldn't be possible. They'll have to focus on Seppo, and that would mean Blomqvist being cast as a conspiracy theorist.
But now he's rather well known, Clinton said slowly. Since the resolution of the Venestrom affair, he's been taken pretty seriously.
Could we somehow reduce his credibility? Sandberg said. Nystrom and Clinton exchanged glances. Clinton looked at Nystrom.
Do you think you could put your hands on, let's say, 50 grams of cocaine?
Maybe from the Yugos.
Give it a try, and get a move on. The trial starts in 3 days.
I don't get it, Sandberg said.
It's a trick as old as the profession, but still extremely effective.
Morgan Gover?
Ed Clint said with a frown. He was sitting in his bathrobe on his sofa at home, reading through Salander's autobiography for the third time, when Figueroa called. Since it was after midnight, he assumed that something was up.
Morgan Gover,
Figueroa repeated. Sandberg and Lars Falsen were there at 8:30 this evening. They were tailed by Inspector Anderson from Boblanski's gang, and we had a radio transmitter planted in Sandberg's car. They parked near the old railway station, walked around for a while, and then returned to the car and drove back to Stockholm.
I see. Did they meet anyone, or...
No. That was a strange thing. They just got out of the car and walked around a little, then drove straight back to Stockholm, Anderson told me.
I see. And why are you calling me at 12:30 in the morning to tell me this?
It took a little while to work it out. They walked past Hulvig's printers. I talked to Blomqvist about it. That's where Millennium's being printed.
Oh, shit,
Ed Clint said. He saw the implications immediately. Since Falsen was along, I have to suppose that they were intending to pay the printers a late-night visit, but they abandoned the expedition, Figueroa said.
Why?
Because Blomqvist asked Armansky to keep an eye on the factory until the magazine was distributed. They probably saw the car from Milton Security. I thought you'd want to know right away.
You're right. It means that they've begun to smell a rat.
Alarm bells must have gone off in their heads when they saw the car. Sandberg dropped Falsen off in town and then went back to Artillery Garden. We know that Clinton is there. Nystrom arrived at about the same time. The question is, what are they going to do?
The trial starts on Wednesday. Can you reach Blomqvist and urge him to double up on security at Millennium, just in case?
They already have good security, and they blew smoke rings around their tapped phones, like old pros. Blomqvist is so paranoid already that he's using diversionary tactics we could learn from.
I'm happy to hear it. But call him anyway.
Figueroa closed her mobile and put it on the bedside table. She looked up and studied Blomqvist as he lay naked with his head against the foot of the bed. I'm supposed to call you and tell you to beef up security at Millennium, she said.
Thanks for the suggestion, he said wryly.
I'm serious. If they start to smell a rat, there's a danger that they'll go and do something without thinking. They might break in.
Henry's sleeping there tonight, and we have a burglar alarm that goes straight to Milton Security 3 minutes away.
He lay in silence with his eyes shut.
Paranoid, he muttered.